All lines are now bridged.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Conditions and Maintenance of Certification Requirements Task Force. We had a very interesting and informative discussion from the full HITECH today, so we are ready to jump back into our task force level discussions. We'll start with a brief roll call. Denise Webb.
Present.
Raj Ratwani.
Here.
Carolyn Peterson.
Good morning.
And Telemoto.
Here.
Great. Sasha Termot.
Present.
Les Leonard. I don't think we have Les yet. And John Travis.
Here.
Okay, I'll turn it over to Kate Tipping for just another quick review of the charge, and then we'll get right into it.
Sure. Thanks, Lauren. So the Conditions and Maintenance of Certification Task Force is charged with providing recommendations on the API, real-world testing and attestations, conditions and maintenance of certification requirements, updates to most of the 2015 edition Health IT certification criteria, changes to the ONC Health IT certification program, and deregulatory actions related to the certification criteria and program requirements.
Thanks, Kate. I'll go ahead and get us started on this discussion on our first topic. This is Denise. And welcome, Ken, back from vacation. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
So there is in the preamble, which is up on the screen, a section that discusses self-developers, and ONC is asking for comment on, whether they're proposing that these conditions of maintenance and certification requirements do apply to self-developers, and they're seeking comments on which aspects of conditions and maintenance of certification may not be applicable to self-developers. So that's what this preamble is about. So the information blocking task force, they are addressing information blocking assurances and communications, and they already covered this for self-developers, and they have passed this over to us and asked us to address the remaining conditions and maintenance of certification requirements to have a discussion on whether we think any of them are not applicable to self-developers. So a good example of a self-developer is where I came from Marshfield Clinic Health System. They have their own ambulatory EHR, which they have, last I knew, was presently or was certified since the 2014 edition. So it would be a situation like that. Someone who's actually developing their own software rather than selling it commercially or getting it commercially.
And these are for folks who specifically want to be a certified system, right?
I believe so, right, Kate?
Yes.
So they would be seeking certification, and if they're going to have certified software, they would be subject to the conditions and maintenance of certification requirements in the rule. So we have real-world testing, attestations, API. Let's see, am I missing one? Those were the three, right?
Those are the three.
I just think that this is a heavy lift to start with for self-developers. Because they're just building it for themselves, right?
Right. Is that
well?
Is that
the,
yeah.
Hi, Les.
Extremely anti-competitive,
yeah.
And that, and it seems like a really heavy lift for self-developers.
But I don't think we're here to judge that. I mean, I think probably most of us think that in this day and age, who would want to try to do this heavy lift? But that's really not what we're here to judge.
This, John, just one thing and a little bit of devil's advocacy, because that enables them to qualify on par with anybody using commercial certified software, for federal program participation, there is an accountability point beyond you're doing it for yourself. So I agree. I hear that perspective. And I'm not trying to say this as a commercial software vendor in any way, but there is that accountability point, you know, whether I know incentives are dead, but there's penalties still in place. There's participation in MACRA and in alternative payment models that qualify for advanced status. So it's not without consequence that you represent yourself as meeting those program requirements. Now, does that mean anything towards some of the requirements we'll talk about? But I just invite you to keep that in mind.
I think that perhaps we could consider limiting it to the patient-facing requirements. But, yeah, as you say, that if they had a module and it, you know, was not configured for interoperability and actually implemented information blocking and it was self-created, that doesn't sound like a good outcome either.
Yeah, that might be the assurance point to just make sure it's served by this. And maybe it doesn't mean everything has to be imposed, but enough to hold a par level of accountability for interoperability and information blocking.
Well, that's an interesting point because if health IT developers, including self-developers, are subject to the information blocking rules, that goes beyond beyond modules that are certified. So if they hold
I think that's an important point. So they're already, I guess, if they're a provider, they're already subject to the information blocking provisions that are appropriate for a provider. I guess what beyond that is really necessary here?
Well, I'm trying to envision.
I think the capability point. So separate it out a little bit. Real world testing is not strictly about information blocking. Actually, I think it's much more underscoring the legitimacy and the validity of the certified capability. So that actually may be one of the more important things, ironically, to retain if your goal here is to assure that the module lives up to its claims of being certified. So there's that policy point that it is, you know, real-world testing is providing evidence of the real-world interoperability capabilities. I separate that out from the information blocking considerations for at least the moment necessary to say that's a policy point unto itself. And then, you know, are the information blocking concerns served by the provider obligations if the self-developer is a provider, which probably they all are, given the nature of self-development?
I have a little comment here about, you know, testing in the real world if you're a self-developer. Does that mean that, you know, you built it to deploy it yourself, so if you deployed it in your working environment, is that completion of that? It seems like, it makes sense to say that, to make the distinction of real-world testing when there's a vendor involved, but if you're a self-developer and deployer in your environment,
here's
kind of done.
Here's a comment that may make that a little more palatable. If I understood Steve Posnick correctly, certified vendors can propose elements of their real-world testing plans to point to leveraging participation in health information exchange that proves the same point. Maybe I misheard that, but the question was asked in Tuesday's meeting that, you know, can you point to participation in, you know, TEFCA or in a similar kind of exchange that requires at least the same level of interoperability as a certification requirement, and that may be the way that they prove that without imposing a lot of burden of doing an additional round. I mean, same feeling, frankly, we expressed in our committee that can we point to production experience as meeting that point of value?
Right. So, John and all of the task force members, Really what we have to first agree or disagree on is, starting with real world testing, do we believe, and I think we do, that self-developers should be subject to the requirements of real world testing? Now, how they demonstrate that, obviously they might have a easier time, since most of these, as I understand it, self-developers are provider organizations as well, that they are actually using their own software, and that if they're a part of Commonwell or Care Equality or that, I mean, certainly they could demonstrate it through some real-world testing. I think what we have to decide on today is, do we think real-world testing, conditions of certification and maintenance, apply to self-developers? And I think I'm hearing so far that we agree that it does.
I think to the degree that the software is deployed within the organization, it applies. I don't think that they could claim that the software was certified before they had a period of testing through deployment in their organization.
Oh,
but if the standard really means that you have to go through a battery of tests that a commercial developer would go through.
I think we need to be careful there and distinguish, and I certainly think this is a qualification on it. If it is, remember, real-world testing is going to focus on only the interoperability criteria, so the proof point is not internal use. The proof point is interoperability in production. So if that is, I have no issue at all with, you know, ONC making clear, because I think if you were to read the real-world testing requirements as they are, you wouldn't get that. You'd think you had to do a lot of things that I agree are probably overkill for a self-developer. I think they need to elaborate how those provisions could be applied for a self-developer. And so if we agree with the point, I think there's a point of more than your own use at hand that proves an accountability to meet program requirements. If the market is being held to certified products are capable in fact, as proven through production use, then that should be the bar for them, no more. But it should at least be the bar if that's an expectation for vendor-certified products. And there I do speak a little bit of a level playing field on that point, that it isn't just for your own internal use. You're actually making a claim that enables you to benefit from certain incentives and conditions and penalty avoidance under federal programs. So there's more than your own use at hand here. And I think that it can be met simply, but I think it does need to be met.
So for everyone, I have
reduced. Opportunity to squash innovation through this type of a regulation that, you know, we have to be very careful about this.
No, I agree, but I'll play devil's advocate. Yeah, I'll say a bit of amen, brother, to that, because it, you know, it's not without consequence on the commercial side either. So I'm only after a PAR requirement where it matters for holding accountability for participation in programs that depend on those things being true. And if we're raising the bar on commercial developers, yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt, but of the I have personal experience with self-development of a EHR and going through with Drummond the certification process, and I can tell you self-developers held to the same bar that the commercial developers are in that testing process.
Oh, absolutely. I don't question that. I'm fully on the real-world test.
So what I'm suggesting is, I don't think we should give a pass to self-developers in any way when it comes to real-world testing. They need to meet the requirements because providers do interoperate with other provider organizations, and if they've developed their own EHR, then they need to fulfill the interoperability requirements.
But this is Les again. But what I'd say is that the thing that's different now is that term EHR module. Because So anyone who is a self-developer of a complete EHR, sure. But if the interoperability is out of the scope of the module, then it's out of scope.
I agree. And I think that's accomplished through the limited criteria set that is subjected to real-world testing.
If you're not falling within that. Yeah.
They've already defined specific criteria for which you would have to accomplish real-world testing, and it is already specific to interoperability criteria. So if a module only did, order entry, for example, there would be no obligation to do real-world testing of interoperability of order entry. And so I think that's already built into the way it's proposed, Les.
Yeah. And I do think, and I, if this part of Les's point, I do think if you just do a straight-up read of the provisions as they are, you don't get the level of flexibility that I think Steve Posnick indicated the other day. So I think if we're agreeing with it, it's important to highlight the ONC to maybe make that path clear of what would be the avenue.
Why don't we touch on that when we get to our recommendations on real-world?
Okay.
Because I think we're going to have to refine.
I'd encourage everyone to focus on the idea of these EHR modules, and I think this is consistent with both Epic and Cerner's trajectories as well, but that I think this is where the action is going to be. It's going to be that you're adding a module that enhances care for opiate abuse.
Yeah.
And that it'll be within these disease-specific lanes that we see these new modules that I think self-developers will come out with, and that they'll use standards and those things, as well as commercial companies that are seeking to create really high-performance additions to EHRs. And so I really hope this regulation could not discourage that kind of direction.
I don't think it is, and I think both Cerner and Epic have experience with their app, I don't know what you call them, galleries or whatever.
App store
concept, that there's a lot of provider organizations that are doing self-development on top of the commercial platform. So they are creating health IT modules. They're not necessarily going out and getting them certified. I think if they wanted to lend credibility to their work and have others use it, they might get it certified. But it wouldn't be subject unless it involves interoperability to these conditions.
This is Ken. I can comment on that a little bit too, because I'm engaged in some work with the FDA's pre-cert program to pre-certify some of this kind of development as well. I brought it up in that environment as well, but I share Les's concern of and maybe it's just a matter of just commenting to say, you know, this needs to be carefully done so that it does not stifle innovation while balancing against potential risk. Because depending on how you look at the way folks have been thinking about, say, FDA regulation and review of these areas, it could potentially include things like an individual health institution developing an order set, or developing an alert or reminder that it could potentially be construed to be under FDA guidance. And specifically, the proposed regs, I think, even talk about, hey, shall we use the FDA mechanism to certify these areas? So perhaps we don't have to get into the nuances of what exactly should be and shouldn't be in, but I think at least commenting that we need to be careful to avoid a situation where folks just feel like, well, as a health system, this could potentially be regulated and we shouldn't get into it at all.
Too much overhead,
I think
yeah.
Need to avoid.
All right, so do we want to just say at this point that we do agree that the real-world testing should remain a condition of certification for self-developers? We're not recommending otherwise.
Well,
yeah,
I think that's a caveat. However, we caution against taking a slippery slope approach of regulating more and more what individual health systems may do in this area.
I think if real-world interoperability remains the mainstay tactic for meeting it for a self-developer, that's a good way to go. And the criteria that are included in this requirement focus on what is a fair evaluation. I agree, it gets to be a different matter if you're beginning to get into intra use cases, so to speak, for the self-developer. That I take that as very good point, that you don't want to get into judging their own production experience for their own internal use, as it were.
But then they wouldn't bring that forth. Based on my past experience in my last role, we wouldn't even bring something like that that we would develop for our own internal use forward for certification.
True. The only thing I raise is if you're doing it to serve a qualification point or a requirement under a program participation, you might go to the commercial market for that, or it may play no role, but I guess in the past, at least, there's been possibility. We have clients who built their own registration module and certified the demographics, to fulfill that. So that would not have been particularly an interoperability point, but it would have fulfilled a program participation requirement for meaningful use. So I think we have to be careful about saying it never could happen, but I agree with where our recommendation is.
Okay, this is Raj.
Go ahead, Raj.
Could we potentially strike a balance here? I mean, it seems to me like we would need some more information or data from some of the self-developers to understand some of the challenges that they experience now and potentially what they might foresee with these new proposed rules. Because I think, Denise, you're making some great points from your experience, and there are probably several others that have some other additional insights. So maybe the recommendation could be that we think aspects of this may apply, but that we should get some greater feedback and insights from those individuals.
Well, I think they all have the opportunity to submit their comments.
What I'm proposing is that for this particular piece here, more might be needed than simple text comments. There might need to be a little bit of work done to actually kind of go and talk to some of those people and understand some of their concerns more deeply than what might be submitted via comments.
So what are we recommending?
Carolyn,
go ahead. Was that you, Carolyn?
Yeah, that's me. Just been listening to all this discussion, which I really appreciate, because while I've heard in passing of many of the problems that Mayo had with its own EHR before it went with Epic, the nuts and bolts of all of this are not clear in my head always. The one thing that occurs to me is that not everybody who wants to self-develop is necessarily going to be building the full-on sort of thing that's useful for a large multi-specialty kind of practice or a medium-sized, outpatient family practice clinic. It occurs to me that what you might see is that groups that do very specialized things, like perhaps substance abuse treatment or something other that's very specific, might be the groups that are interested in self-developing. And while I think that absolutely all the patient-facing stuff has to be there and you have to be able to do interoperability and all the rest of it, I am concerned that we don't do something that prevents people that have special, very specific needs that aren't well served by a large commercial product, that they're prevented from doing that as long as they can be interoperable. That would be the one concern that I have.
Just to sort of clarify, I really agree with that. This is Les. I really agree with that comment. I think that's the gist of what I was saying as well. And that the question is when does the certification criteria become an undue barrier for this kind of innovation? And that particularly when we think of this as an EHR module that works alongside a certified EHR, and that you wouldn't want to knock the organization out because they've innovated in one module that, does something better than they can do anywhere else. So how do we streamline that process so that we don't stifle innovation as people roll out modules that do these special tasks that are really too small for EHR developers to build their own modules for, or it may precede their development of an EHR module.
So this is Sasha, and just to maybe chime in with some background on how certification works and how this criterion would be applied, there is a fair amount of flexibility to picking the particular certification criteria that would be applicable to a module, which might have a very specialized setting. It might have a very narrow scope where it works in conjunction with other products to serve, you know, the full needs of a clinic or a hospital. And I think that that is accommodated by the current structure, and I think that that continues to be accommodated by what's proposed for real-world testing, with the sense that there's a narrow scope of criteria where real-world testing has been determined to be important. And I think we would agree, as everyone has said, the products do have to be interoperable. And so if one of these products, whether it's meant for a specialized setting or for a narrow scope of use, if it is going to be used for something related to interoperability, like exchange of information using FHIR, then it should be tested in the real world at the same level that a commercial product used for exchange using FHIR would be. I think that what the concerns I'm hearing the group articulate are actually accommodated by the proposal that Denise mentioned earlier. And I'm wondering, just given time constraints, if we want to continue through the other requirements so that we don't end up losing too much opportunity to do that.
I agree with you, Sasha. I think that's a good balance, knowing what's in the requirement, in the program, and how it would apply. And I'm fine moving on to things.
So do we want to move on? The next was attestations and then the APIs.
Sure.
I mean, attestations is pretty straightforward. I think that they need to attest that they meet the requirements of certification.
Yeah, that in the same spirit of what Sasha just said, it's a par level requirement of seeking to be certified.
Right, and that assumes if we, they would attest to the conditions of certification and maintenance, assuming all apply to them in the final rule.
Yeah, which, by the way, to the extent they do, is kind of already a requirement. Otherwise, you're going to probably be violating your certification agreement with your certifying body. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then APIs, I don't know if there's going to need to be much discussion on that.
They're not presumably
getting into any of the... They apply.
Yeah, they apply for the functional and technical capability.
Any thoughts on that for the group, or concerns that it wouldn't apply?
Would all of the provisions apply? Like, would they be expected to perform registration and list endpoints? I would propose yes, because if registration practices and listing endpoints is how the interoperability ecosystem is planned to sort of know what apps are available and what endpoints are available, I think self-developers would have to do it also, but I guess I'm just sort of raising the question.
I agree, Sasha. I don't think there's anything that about self-development that says you're not otherwise exposed to the same kinds of needs that other commercial APIs would, or that app developers wouldn't seek to work with you in the same way they work with commercial APIs.
Very concerned about this trajectory. It sounds like any attempted innovation that doesn't get certified would knock the organization where they have an app would knock the organization out of only in that area that if the program was using a certified app. I mean, it seems like that it's fairly easy to break your certification process. If you're an institution and it's an app developer, and then you would be knocked out of the financial incentives that and program participation that would come along with that. So how do we?
Well, Les, I think there's a concerning direction the alternate way too, right? So I mean, I think, yes, certification requirements are rigorous. And if anyone is pursuing certification, they have to be prepared for that level of rigor and participation. But if we said, oh, self-developers and other apps don't have to meet those criteria, then we could end up with self-developers where there's no opportunity to use an app with their system because there's no method for registration. There's no availability of endpoints. Patients wouldn't be able to take an app of their choosing and connect it to that health system if those features aren't available. And so I think to some extent the rigor is significant for self-developers or for any developer, but that's something that we're agreeing is important as a matter of public good.
Also an entry barrier.
I think what Sasha and I both kind of feel in response, we're, I can't say empathetic, we're not self-developers, but we are developers, that we would agree there's a lot of, you know, burden's a funny term. I don't use it in a negative context here, and that's kind of hard to say, but there is a lot to doing this that, you know, putting aside vendor versus, you know, private development, if you will, there's a par that the program expects that is the public good Sasha speaks of, and it can be focused on the things that are important to the public. I don't want to rehash the real world testing, but it's the notion that there is a fair bar.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Did John get cut off?
Yeah, I think he did.
Sounds like it.
Oh, he's going to have to dial back in.
I think that this is a very challenging area because the public good is also, it's essential to preserve the ability to innovate at the point of care for the public good.
I think a number of health systems or provider organizations have gone from their homegrown systems to commercial vendor platforms and have still retained the ability to be innovative and develop in conjunction with having those commercial products. And to your point earlier, Les, about the heavy lift, if you look at why a number of health systems finally decided to abandon, and maybe Carolyn can comment on this if she has any knowledge on Mayo, but to abandon continuing to develop and keep their own EHR up to date is, you know, when a lot of these organizations created their software, there was not the regulatory landscape there is today. And it's a huge lift to stay on top of this. And I can, just based on my research, I know Cerner and Epic, you know, invest anywhere from $500 to $700 million in R&D a year. And there's a lot of people invested in looking at the regulatory aspects and what it's going to take to ensure the products that they deliver are safe for the patient and meet all of the federal and state requirements from a regulatory standpoint. So, I mean, I don't disagree with you on your earlier comments that it's a heavy lift. But again, we're not here to judge whether people should self-develop or not, and that's their personal, their organization's personal decision.
The regulation shouldn't prevent this idea of an ecosystem as a preliminary to, you know, commercializing a module, develop a module and use it within your organization without losing the organization losing its ability to claim that it's using certified software. And that what you've described is exactly the point I make about this, is that the regulatory burden is so heavy that all of the academic developers of EHRs have dropped out, and that there is the only innovation right now is in the commercial side of the market. But I think we could be in a golden age where there's a lot of innovation going on within EHR modules if we don't have an overly burdensome regulatory environment.
Russ, I don't think that the self-development accommodations are going to change the concern you're expressing one way or another. Fundamentally, I think that there has to be a debate at a higher level to say, is the regulatory burden on health systems and on health IT appropriate? Because if it is slowing the pace of development too much and placing too many restrictions on new entrants to market, I think we address that concern in a different way. The sort of self-development provisions here to me seem tangential from the concern you're expressing, which I see as a much higher level picture concern.
I don't see it as tangential at all, given the history of EHR development, which was actually all, you know, most of the innovations that came to the commercial space came from the academic environment by self-developers of EHRs. And that, Warner Slack, the folks at Intermountain, Regan Street, those areas are where the infrastructure for modern EHRs was invented, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, and that as we've moved forward, this regulatory environment has essentially eliminated Mayo, all those things, eliminated the ability for academic institutions to, you know, participate in the development of EHRs as grand tools, as these comprehensive tools. But as we move on to an era where interoperability allows EHR modules to be brought into play in conjunction with certified EHRs, you don't want to penalize innovators who build their own modules that happen to work well with their overall certified system. I don't think anybody's going to walk away from certified systems in the future, but I think this has to serve the notion of EHR modules that are much more flexible and focused on, you know, in-depth care of one class of patients or another.
Yeah, but I think the question is whether that needs certification, right? If someone is bringing out a new module that they're going to use for something related to opioids, for example, they can still start to use that and try it, and it might not come into the scope of what's necessary from a certified health IT product. If it does come into the scope to do things that certified health IT does, then it seems that we should hold that new module, no matter how new, to the same standard as any product that wants to do the functions of a certified health IT product.
So the main thing I would say is that the institution, if it's a healthcare institution that develops a module for its own use and applies it, it can't lose its overall certification status because it's developing a module for its own use. And if you make it go through a full certification as if it was marketing it externally, and it's within its own use, you're going to stifle innovation.
Well, unfortunately, we're already there because you are. And, you know, forget this rule. That's the way the current certification program functions. I have not heard of anything that provides a tiered level of certification relative to the certification requirements themselves for a self-developed module compared to a commercial one. I think we need to retain sight of that. If a different program needs to evolve, that's a whole different question and a higher level one. But insofar as the same requirements are held to a certified module, I respect the point about self-development, but self-development doesn't mean internal use. And you know why these things exist are to hold a public accountability on both preserving the institution's ability, who is a self-developer, to participate in federal programs. So there's a public point of accountability to avoid penalties, earn incentives, have particular status and benefits from use of certified EHR technology that go with it, and being a reliable point of interoperability in fact. So I think that's all Sasha and I are saying, is that the same PAR needs to operate for both flavors of product. I appreciate the self-developer innovation needs to be able to be supported and promoted. So does commercial developer. But it's a PAR that, as long as the program is constructed as it is, it's a PAR that should exist for both flavors.
Well, I think we can agree to disagree on that.
Since, okay.
Yeah, and I think...
I represent the academic contingent of this group, and you represent the commercial. And
yeah.
I think we can agree
and
differences of opinion on that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that needs to be, I have no issue with that being conveyed. I think the thing I do want to express agreement and appreciation for is I don't think any, you know, Sasha or I would represent, we would seek to have things stifled and especially not overextend provisions for things that are truly self-developed for the institution's own use. But there is a place in there where it isn't just for your own use if it's for the purpose of interoperability and potentially engaging with external parties and in the manner that a commercial vendor might, setting aside whether or not you intend to offer it for sale, it's a point of dependency that connects into the ecosystem that has to perform in ways that hold up and are of a similar rigor to what a commercial product would for on the same points. So
if I
sorry.
if I can
go ahead.
Interject one quick comment. I think you're both making important points that have merit. To clarify what I was thinking about when I spoke earlier, I am thinking about the fact that in 10 and 15 and 20 and 30 years, it's not just health organizations and health systems that have to evolve as communities. And it may very well be that in a community, a nonprofit consortium comes together to help manage the care and the well-being of elders in their homes. Because, frankly, we are coming up on a large population of people who can't afford assisted living and senior center complexes and all of this. And I can absolutely see where this sort of consortium would bring in technical assistance to build a product that overseeing providers like a couple of docs with a couple of nurse practitioners or PAs working together as a community resource manage what's going on with seniors in their homes through the use of sensors and PGHD and other things. Folks that are coming together with absolutely no interest in the EHR market, in developing a commercial product, in trying to compete with anyone, in wanting to do anything more than coming up with a model and the tools needed to make a model work to manage the care and health of a particular population locally in the community. And maybe at some point, some other group in another part of the country might say, hey, that looks really cool what you're doing. Can you help us set up something similar? I would hate for that type of innovation to be stifled because this group now has to meet a whole set of standards that is designed to support a much larger product being sold on a commercial basis. Competition for existing vendors, I get that. When we talk innovation, we're not talking about another EHR by another company. We're talking about people who start with a problem and try to figure out how to deal with that specific problem at a much smaller scale. And that is what my concerns are when we say it has to be subject to everything else from the very large commercial organization.
I think if I can recommend to the co-chairs, an important lesson here, I think we can agree to disagree, certainly respect that, and I think that we can make the recommendations that to the extent that there's a fair par that doesn't stifle innovation, there are certain of these requirements that apply. But I think what we're running into is an important point for ONC to take measure of on a more comprehensive level, and it maybe isn't cured in this rule, but this rule was designed to, let's be honest, very significantly regulate against bad behavior on the part of commercial vendors. It's an elephant in the room, I'm going to name it. And I understand that there is a potential for great unintended consequence for self-developers if you literally applied it the same way. There are certainly parts of it that are aimed at providers. What ONC has not done, to me, is address a provider organization that plays both self-developer role and provider role that have different consequences under this regulation, and yet here they may face both. And I appreciate that a self-developer never probably doesn't desire to get into this for the sake of becoming as significantly regulated as they might under this rule. So I think part of our point ought to be ONC ought to go take a big step back and look at how this rule applies to self-developers if there is any different statement they want to make, because we probably could go on for a long time on this arc of conversation about how these things apply. But I do believe there's a strong current in this regulation that was aimed at commercial vendors, but it nets in self-developers, and as long as it's written that way, that's a tension point that ONC is going to have to come to and figure out if there's a different applicability that we probably cannot do a lot about in our discussions.
John, to get to
Thank you, John, for that summary.
I think that I'm probably suggesting a world where innovative EHR modules are used alongside certified products, and I think that that's probably the distinction here, that if it was intended as a replacement for a certified product, that might be very, very entire certified product, like an EHR program. But if it's a module that's used alongside, this is where the future is going, I feel. And this is where we really need to preserve innovation. And if there was a way to not have organizations lose their status as complying with certification when they innovate in this kind of a module used alongside a certified product.
I think that's an important point to register, because it raises, I think, a different set of questions and potentially a different standing. I don't know. I'm not trying to solve the problem, but I think ONC's created in their proposal has uncovered this. As long as the certification program was substantially focused on capabilities that were used in clinical workflow and were kind of intra-use, these things didn't surface. Not for interoperability concern, but now that much of the aim of the program is towards interoperability, these questions arise.
Make a recommendation that we agree that the conditions of certification and maintenance apply to all developers of certified HIT, whether it be commercial or self-development, however. And then on the however, we could specify some of these points.
Break the conversation here, but we should probably take a quick break for public comment. And then I think we can just confirm that last, what sounds like we're proposing recommendation. So operator, can you please open the public line?
Yes, thank you. If you would like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad, and a confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Thanks. Okay. We've pulled up the number here for a few minutes, so hopefully you've had some public comments, but do we have any comments in the queue at this time?
Not at this time.
Okay. Well, I think seeing that we don't have any comments, I think it's important we kind of wrap up on this last point here. So I'll hand it back to you, Denise, Raj, and then we can wrap up.
Yeah, and I think we'll have to take our second agenda item and push it forward to the next meeting to go over the recommendations. I didn't realize this was going to get into such a lengthy discussion. It was a good discussion. So do we want to propose some particular language related to the concerns that were surfaced today?
Well, if I can suggest, I like the last statement that was made, that we believe that there is I don't know whether to say general or particular, but there is an applicability of the conditions of certification to all developers. I got a chest full. I'm sorry. But I think that we enumerate, I think we covered a couple of points here that in particular there should be, and I'll offer them and there may not, and we can have agreement to disagree, that there's a par level for real world testing when it comes to interoperability criteria. ONC should probably reinforce the ability to point to production use and participation in health information exchange, like what Steve Posnick said the other day about TEFCA potentially being a proof point that a developer could point to under a real-world testing plan, that there's a need to look to maintain or provide for moderation of burden to a self-developer when applying the real world, applying the conditions of certification to them. I think it's fair to make a point that ONC needs to really evaluate the application of conditions of certification to self-developed products that are predominantly in a provider's own interest for their own use, and provide a compliance path or set of guidance for them, because I think looking at them as they are, self-developers are going to be very challenged to understand how this isn't a very burdensome exercise. I certainly appreciate that, and that probably speaks to a need to not just leave it to the imagination, but to provide a clearer path of how they may comply. So I'll stop there.
Raj?
Nothing new on my...
Yeah, I know you've been listening. I don't know if you would summarize this in a way that... I think we need to be succinct in our recommendation.
And just for maybe a logistical assistance, I was taking notes in the document I mentioned in the chat, and
mm-hmm.
I tried to capture what John said and some of the other discussion points and proposals in the notes at the bottom of that document. So if we want to use that to try to further refine the language, I do have a starting point captured there.
Okay. Well, and I would ask Les and Ken and Carolyn to take a close look at that to make sure that the notes reflect the points that they made.
Can you resend out the link or in some way?
Sure.
And then if you all can add anything that you feel is missing that we would need to use to craft a final recommendation, I would certainly appreciate that. I mean, we all need to look at it and reflect.
And I think I just shared my screen so you could see where Sasha laid out the draft proposal. But I'll resend the link to this document as well.
Great, thank you.
One thing I would clarify here on point three is self-developed products seeking certification, health IT products seeking certification. I think they're referring to all modules now, less as HIT modules, not necessarily EHR modules.
Yeah.
Some are EHR modules, some are just generally health IT modules that interact with the EHR.
I might modify number three, let me to say, you know, seeking certification, maintenance of certification of their environment with the addition of self-developed products. So it's not the products that are seeking certification. We're saying that, you know, MUSC builds a new EHR module. We don't want to lose our certification because we're using that new module we've developed.
That's not how the program necessarily works. I mean, at Marshfield, we created plenty of modules that never went through certification that interact with the certified software. It's the function of requirement. It's the function of the certified software that you cannot affect that has been certified.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I'm speaking from a self-developer perspective, and Sasha and John have the experience of the commercial development and going through the certification process. And there is nothing limiting self-developers, or nothing ever limited us from deploying. I mean, we deployed a thing that was related to imaging that interacted with the EHR, and it affected the EHR certification in no fashion. But if it breaks one of the functions that was certified in the EHR, then that's an issue.
Just adding some further comments.
One of those functions. So, yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll work. Maybe we can distribute this language, and we'll have some weather spreadsheet, and we'll type in variants of it and track that.
That'd be great. The more eyes on this and the input, then the better job we'll do on crafting this. Okay, so Kate, you'll send out that link to everybody?
Yep.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, and it looks like...
I was going to say, when is our next meeting?
Our next meeting is not until next Wednesday, I believe, at 4 p.m.
Okay.
Sorry,
and
I have
did
that
request...
wrong. Next Wednesday at 12 p.m., and then... next Thursday at 12 p.m. and next Friday at 4 p.m.
Okay, so we have two meetings next week. So hopefully we'll have the transcripts and are able to look at the discussion that was had at the HITECH on our recommendations, so that we can step through those and refine them as well as this one we were working on today.
Yeah, and Denise, Sasha sent out some great notes on that as well. And Sasha, thank you for taking such great notes and sharing it.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes, I second that.
Yes, thank you very much, Sasha.
Okay, thanks, everyone. I think we'll adjourn for today. I think you've got our kind of homework assignment for our next meeting, and I think Denise and Roger will follow up offline. Right after this.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.